In Mark 12:25, the Word of God says, Father, bless these words to our hearts. And he's talking about heaven, and he was challenged by the Pharisees, and he's saying, in heaven, it says, they rise from the dead. They neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. We will be like the angels in heaven. I think this is really interesting. I was walking around the halls at work today a little bit this morning, and I was considering, like, what will it be to be in heaven? And what will we experience? And it was, the angels are very different from us. I believe they're made of different stuff. We're made of atoms. But an atom cannot do what an angel can do. For example, we know that an angel can simply appear. They have appeared before. And Christ has appeared, and he is like the angel. We can't do that. But at the same time, we can be transformed into something. Or perhaps we don't understand all that atoms can do, which is also extremely possible. Because Philip was translated. How is it that Philip was translated? And scientists have told us a little bit about quantum teleportation that they've been studying now with some significant success for about 15 years. And so we are going to be like the angels. We're going to be made of something. Have you considered what we're going to be made of? I sometimes like to think about that, because we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, where right now we cannot look at God and live. But in heaven we will see Him face to face. We will stand face to face with God. And we will see Him, we will look at Him. And the angels now are in the presence of God. So they're made of the same stuff that we're going to be made of. And I got to thinking, what is that stuff? I don't know. But I do know that the universe is far stranger than anything that we understand. Maybe we'll be made of neutrinos, which I'm kind of thinking, okay, maybe instead of atoms, we'll have neutrinos as our foundational molecule. And neutrinos, right now, you've got countless neutrinos passing through your body. They're emitted by the sun, and they pass through the earth like it's not even there. And scientists have measured this before. And right now, at this moment, like through the size of an area of your thumbnail, you've got billions of neutrinos passing right through, like you're not even there. Scientists call it the ghost particle. And for a long time, they didn't even want to believe that that was even a real particle, until it was proven. They have actually measured neutrinos. What are we going to be made of in heaven? We don't know this, but we know it's of some sort of a substance, that there's a reality and a tangibility to it that is different than the reality and tangibility of now. What can atoms do? Maybe we'll be made of atoms. What can atoms do? Atoms can do things that we don't understand. For example, we didn't know until really relatively recently that all light is emitted from an atom. And that changes our complete understanding of reality. Now, what is the law? Angels are not subject to natural laws. If an angel walked off a 25-story building, nothing would happen to him. He wouldn't fall, because he is not subject to natural laws. But then, are we subject to natural laws? And we would say, yes, we are subject to natural laws. But my question is, to what extent are we subject to natural laws? What is the connection between this world and the eternal world, eternity? Because we are subject to natural laws, aren't we? We are subject to natural laws, but they are not. Or are we? Well, Jesus said that if I believe, that I can say to this mountain, be removed, and it will get up and be cast into the sea? Do I actually believe what he said? Honestly, I don't think that we usually do. But that is, in fact, what he said. That if we simply say to the mountain, be removed, the mountain will be cast into the sea. Peter did something that you cannot do in subjugation to natural law. What did Peter do? Peter walked on water. Peter was a man like we are. Peter was not a man like the Savior was. The Savior was the God-man. And although he was fully man, he still was born of a divine seed. And so in that aspect, he was different than we are, but he was still fully a man. But he had no old sin nature. And we could possibly even argue that because he had no old sin nature, maybe he could not be subject to the natural laws. That's why he could raise the dead. Maybe that's why he could calm the storm. But Peter did that too. Peter, he walked on water. What is the difference? What is the connection between our lives and the eternal life? Between time and eternity? What is that link? And the link is simply believing. We think of believing in a sort of a strange way. We think of believing as simply the acceptance of an idea. But that's not the same thing as believing. An acceptance of an idea is really entirely dependent on me. And in many respects, believing is dependent on me. But I choose what I believe. But it's more than the acceptance of an idea. Believing is tapping into something that we don't really understand. There are such things as faith fields. These are real energy fields produced by faith that have the ability to change things. For example, you hear of people praying and believing that somebody will be healed of an illness, and all of a sudden, when the doctors are all saying it's impossible, they get healed. But this also happens among people other than Christians. People who perhaps are or Muslim or something, and they have a belief system, and maybe they pray and somebody gets healed. Is their belief different? Is the activity of the response to prayer different? And Christians would often be tempted to say, well, maybe that's demonic, and possibly it could be. But faith in and of itself is an entity. Faith has real power. For example, you can measure the energy of a person. And scientists have done this. You can measure the energy of a living organism. And so there's a lot about ourselves that we don't understand, and there's a lot about eternity that we don't understand. But one of the things that we do have is faith, is believing. And we put our faith into something. We all possess it, every human being, by virtue of being human. It is something that God has given to humanity in general. And the difference is, what do I put my faith in? Now, we say it's better to put our faith in God, and therefore the part we can tap into God's power. And yes, that is true. God will act on our behalf when we believe Him. But believing in and of itself has a power. A faith field is produced by believing. And this ability to believe gives us ability to do things that we could not otherwise do. And scientists often attribute it to different things, perhaps processes in the brain or things that are physiological. And maybe a portion is that. Maybe a part of it is that, in fact. But there are things also that are not that. Like, how does my faith change your life? How does the fact that one person prays in one type part of the world influence what happens in another part of the world? And the secular crowd would say, well, it doesn't. or maybe it's coincidence, but what happens when you start praying in specifics and then specifics start to happen? Why is it that a man in Germany could pray for a woman in Iran and all of a sudden, without the woman in Iran looking for anything, Christ appears to her? And she becomes a believer after this man prayed for her for 30 years. Because there is something about believing. Now, believing itself and faith are slightly different things. Faith is an assurance. Believing is an acceptance. I accept what God said. I accept it as being the truth. I believe it. But if I believe something, am I assured of it? Believing is more important. Why? Because I believe the Word of God and therefore I come to God. You see, no one comes to God unless they first believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. So believing is more important in this respect. You see, faith is a capacity issue. That's why Jesus said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" But he didn't address his believism, or that he believed. He addressed his faith. He addressed his assurance and his confidence. But he was walking on water. See, what do I believe? Peter believed that if he got out of the boat when the Savior told him to, that it would work. Now, believism didn't consider the water. I should put it this way. Belief did not consider the water. I think what happens to us too much, or I'm sorry guys, I'm a little bit tired and my words are getting a little jumbled. I think what happens to us sometimes is that our minds get into the way of simply believing. Now, Jesus didn't address anyone saying, He didn't say, if you have faith as a little child. He said, if you believe as a little child. A little child doesn't think about things. A little child simply accepts them as it's been defined to them. A little child, mom or dad say something and that's simply the way it is. There's not a question of assurance or expectation or anything like that. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. Those things are right. But that's not what I'm addressing here. In believing, there isn't a question of expectation or assurance. In believing, there is simply accepting that this is the way it is. Not doubting, as in challenging reality. For example, I believe there is China. I have no reason to not believe there is China. I simply believe there is China. I've never been to China. I believe there is China. Some people don't believe that people have ever been on the moon. And there was a movement about this a while ago. That was all fraud. Nobody's been on the moon. I believe that people have been on the moon. Now, I don't really have any other reason to believe it except that people say it. Right? Some astronaut or some guy working for NASA says, I've been to the moon. I said, okay. How do I know he's not really lying? That it's not some sort of a grand conspiracy? The world would call that paranoia. But really, you're only paranoid if you're wrong. How do I know? Well, I believe it. I believe it. I believe the Bible. I don't so much have faith in the Bible. I have faith in His promises. But I believe the Bible. I believe what it says. I believe that when it tells me something about God, that it's true. I don't necessarily have an expectation of every portion of the Bible. I mean, how do you have an expectation out of the genealogies? But I believe them. If you don't have faith, then simply believe. You may not have an assurance or an expectation, but that's a capacity issue. What you need is belief. And you simply believe the Bible. You believe the words that Jesus spoke. You believe about the things to come. You believe about grace. You believe that God is merciful in the things of His character. You simply believe Him. When you simply believe Him, that becomes the premise for your thinking. Faith is not so much a premise for thinking. Faith is what helps me to deal with my life. Like, I believe that God said that I'll be victorious, that nothing, no weapon formed against me can prosper. But do I have faith in the difficult circumstance that I'm going to come out okay, or am I a little bit trepidatious? If I'm trepidatious, I'm not operating in faith, but that doesn't mean I don't believe. That's a capacity issue. I believe the Bible is true. I believe every word. But sometimes certain things, I don't know how they're going to come out, even though faith would say have an expectation. But I simply believe. You see, this is what the Hebrew boys did when they went into the furnace. The Hebrew boys did not go into the furnace with faith. The Hebrew boys went into the furnace with belief. They said, whether I perish, but God is more than able. They had no confident expectation that they wouldn't die. But they believed God and His ability. When Jesus spoke to the blind man, He didn't ask him, do you have faith? He built faith in him. He asked him, do you believe that I am able to do this? In Jesus asking him that question, He gave him a capacity for faith. Because what Jesus did is, He gave him this. He said, you already believe that I'm able. And when He asks me this, do you believe that I am able? And I say, yes, Lord, I believe you are able. That's where I start to build a capacity for faith. It starts with belief. A person who doesn't have faith is not a person who is lost or even in sin. We know that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, yes. But do you always have confident assurance and expectation? Or were the Hebrew boys sinning when they went into the furnace? Or maybe the Hebrew boys believed, and that was what the Bible is talking about. Believe God. Just believe Him. Believe His word. Well, I need evidence. Oh, well, then you're going to believe your evidence. You're better off just believing His word. See, when I say I need evidence, what I'm saying is I need sight. How do we know that God really created the world? Because He said He did. Are we convinced of this? Yes. But the world offers its analysis of empirical data. And it comes up with evolution. But at the same time, a Christian comes up with the same, looks at the same data and comes up with a completely different interpretation of that data. It's based on what the world believes and what the Christian believes. The difference in our lives is belief, not so much faith, but believing God. Because everybody has faith. Everybody's confident in something. Everybody's assured about something. The difference of our faith is that it's based in belief. Before I was saved, I had faith. I just had faith in different things. But I didn't really believe. Then I got saved, I started to believe. And it led to my salvation, and then my faith changed. You see, people say it's a blind faith, and in fact, they're right, but it's not a faith without direction or reason. It's a faith based on belief, just like everybody else's. The difference with the Christian believing in the Bible is he's believing that which is true. Well, isn't that really according to what you believe? Isn't that what you're saying? The world would say. I say, no, it isn't. Because before I was saved, before I believed in the Bible, the things that I believed had no power. But after I got saved and I started believing in the Bible, that has power. I believed in humanistic thought, but humanistic thought didn't transform. It simply told me to behave myself. But it didn't change who I was, and I didn't always behave myself. Because it couldn't change me. What does the Word of God do? I believe the Word of God, and it transforms who I am. It heals. It has power. It does things in people's lives that are remarkable. It makes a man walk on water. What is the connection between time and eternity? It's belief. You see, this is the interesting thing about what we are. Is, are we in fact subject to natural laws? Well, yes and no. See, if God says walk on water, then I'll walk on water. And it won't be because there's a lack of natural law. It's because I believe. God said greater things than you will do. God said greater things than these you will do. What I need to do is believe. It's not the quantity of my belief. It's simply that I believe. Sometimes people try to put things based on a quantity. There is no quantity. It's a state of being. I either believe or I don't believe. And so the Holy Spirit transforms me into belief. Belief is not a wish. Belief is a real entity. It's measurable. And it's efficacious. It's not a wish. It's not a concept. It's a reality. It's a force. Everyone possesses it. It's a question of where do they place it. I can believe what the world says, or I can believe what the Bible says. I can believe what the unsaved professor says, or I can believe what the pastor says. But I'm going to believe. That's who we are as people. But if I believe the Bible, then there's a power behind my belief that can do things, that can even transcend the natural laws. How is it that I can say to the mountain, be removed, and it will be cast into the sea? Because belief is powerful. If I believe, God said it will be according to my belief. The man said, I believe, help my unbelief. What was he saying? I believe, but I have no capacity for faith. In other words, I believe what you're saying is true, but I have no ability to rest in it with expectation and confidence. I still get afraid, although I believe what you said is true. I believe who you are, but it still scares me because I don't know enough of your character to know that you'll come through for me because you love me. But it doesn't mean that I don't believe who you are. You are God. I just don't know you well enough yet. But that doesn't change things. I come to Him on the basis of what I believe, not on the basis of what I'm confident in. You see, this is one of the things that we believers need to realize, is that we're believers. We are those who believe. If you have a situation that happens to you and you can't handle it with confidence because you don't have confident expectation and assurance, don't beat yourself over the head with it. It's a capacity question. Just believe what He said. How many people the doctor tells them to do something or undergo some sort of a treatment, and they do it because the doctor said to them, this can help you. And maybe the treatment makes them ill, but they do it anyway because they believe what the doctor said. But they're still, they go, they get the treatment, and they're not sure they're going to get better. They don't have confidence, but they believe what the doctor said. And maybe they're like, okay, well, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to try it, but it's enough. We're like that also. Don't worry about whether you're confident. Don't worry about whether you know how to have faith rest. It is better to be confident, yes. It is better to have faith rest, yes. But just believe, even if you can't be confident. In other words, the Bible tells us that that God said certain things. Believe those things. And as you believe those things, your faith will grow. Because believing them will allow the Holy Spirit to build capacity for faith in you. When will you have faith? As you grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, as you receive the love of God, then you will have faith. Now, you had enough faith to save you, so you already have some. How do you grow? You believe. How can I believe what I don't see? You do it all the time. So just believe what the Bible says. I mean, how many of you guys have been in a science class and you believe what your instructors told you? Or any class, Spanish class. How do you know they're teaching you Spanish? Maybe they have a wicked sense of humor and they're teaching you gobbledygook. Right? Except then, eventually, it becomes useful to you. And you're able to function with it. It's like that for the believer. How do you know the pastor's really preaching? How do you know the Bible's really true? Because you're able to function with it and it becomes useful to you. Because you believe it. Believing is not a helpless or weak thing. Believing the Bible is an extremely powerful thing. See, believe the right thing and you can walk on water. Believe the right thing and you can be translated by something you had no influence over. Believe the right thing and you can raise the dead. It's like that man that wrote Faith Like Potatoes, that farmer, right? He didn't go into that house where that lady died with a great deal of confidence. He was scared. And he was thinking to himself, what if this doesn't work? But he believed God enough that even though he didn't have faith, he believed enough to go. We are like that all the time. We don't have confidence. We don't have assurance. Sometimes we don't even have expectation. But we believe enough to ask. How many people ask a desperate prayer with no expectation of answer? The amazing thing is that the answer comes. So don't worry about your quantity of faith. Just believe what the Bible says. And your faith will come on its own. It's really that simple. Some would say it's too simple, but why make it complicated? It's really that simple. You believe what the Bible says, and faith will come on its own. Amen.